This is the Norris Group's Real Estate Investor Radio Show, the award-winning show dedicated to thought leaders shaping the real estate industry and local experts revealing their insider tips to succeed in an ever-changing real estate market. Hosted by author, investor, and hard money lender, Bruce Norris.
Hi, thank you for joining us. My name is Bruce Norris, and today, once again, is our special guest, Jim Brown. Jim began his career in the early 80s. He and I had a transaction like
1990,
and it was a pretty tricky one, which we had discussed in the first segment. He since has gone on. He's been very successful his whole real estate career. Part of what I enjoyed about the first segment is talking about, I figured there was some stories about him being a young entrepreneur, and we got some of that and we understood why he's so successful. In 2004, Jim launched Keller Williams and Corona, over 350 agents, and very successful, and actually is having a successful 2020 in spite of all that's going on. So, Jim, congratulations on that and for a very successful trusted business.
Well, thank you.
The home buyer business got confronted in around 2009 with the buyer from Wall Street. And so you'd go to a trustee sale and somebody with $1 billion would bid 100% of value for the property because they had no intention of flipping it. They intended to hold it as a rental, and the game changed overnight.
Yes, it did. I honestly expected rents to drop. Rents have gone up, nothing but up.
Right. Yeah, well, that's because of a foreclosure chart. Mm-hmm. So you had a lot of people turn into renters that were never going to be, and the credit characteristics said, okay, well, you can't buy for 7 years, so you're a renter for a long time. Now, that's about to reverse. So that's an interesting thing to think about. So you've got a lot of people that couldn't own, that had to rent, that now all that's passed. Their credit's better, so they'll either be buyers or they'll exit, but they won't be renters. And so everybody that has an apartment building got real spoiled. That could be an interesting thing. It really could be.
It could.
Yeah. So what has been the biggest impact for you as a retail broker, where you're dealing with the person that's buying homes to live in, and then they get attracted and also listing people homes to sell, and all of a sudden they get wind of this big real estate company that can like do it overnight, you know, buy your house or whatever.
It's a factor. We see it and we deal with it. But I can't say it's affected us much yet. I think that's something that's going to grow because I think more and more companies are going to get into it. But generally, if the person's, as long as the seller has, unless they're in a panic mode, they can certainly get more for it going through a realtor.
Sure.
There is a certain amount of convenience to selling it to somebody generally for 15% or so under the market to make it a quick sale and it's done. But, I don't see it really affecting us strongly yet. There's a couple of brokers in the area that they get houses from companies like Zillow or whatever that are buying these homes up.
Right.
And then they get the listing and then they sell it. I don't know how long they're going to be doing it like this because I see some of them that there's no way around it that the companies that are doing it are actually losing money.
Yeah.
So why they're in that business to do that, and other than market share and maybe some control, I can't fathom that because it's not how I think. But I'll just say the real estate industry right now is fine. That's not going to affect us. Even Keller Williams, incidentally, has put together a thing where they're, you know, we can go out and buy a house.
Right.
Yeah. That's there. They don't do it much in California, but around the country they are.
Okay.
And so they see that. Gary Keller's incredibly innovative. He's a thinker. And he, for example, the technology side of it, he's committed $1 billion towards technology for the Keller Williams agent. $1 billion. Now, every agent in Keller Williams pays a $25 a month fee for all the technology that we've got. But when you've got 180,000 agents paying $25 a month, that's a lot of money.
It is.
Yeah. And so they're building a platform. It's called KW Command. And It's not done yet, but it's well on its way, and it's going to revolutionize the way real estate's done.
So tell me, can you tell me a little bit more about that? What is KW Command?
It's everything. It's you enter a name into a thing one time. I'd like to tell you, I understand it all. It deals with actually with artificial intelligence. It deals with, it makes you more efficient, more effective. It keeps all of your stuff in one place. You can update things in a moment. You'll never miss an appointment. You'll never miss an opportunity for something because it tells you what to do. It actually sends you leads. When this is all done, which it'll be done by the end of this year, it's just a new chapter in real estate technology.
Yeah,
they call KW a technology company, not a real estate company now.
Okay. Well, you know, when you sometimes you'll be I'll be in a cell phone conversation in front of my computer, and I'll have a conversation about something that I've not even been on the computer about. But I'm saying, okay, you know, like I have a brother that has a mental illness, and I'll make a statement of I need to go to somewhere. And within 5 seconds, boom, there'll be an advertisement for something like that. And you're just going, what the heck just happened? And so if I'm searching, let's say, hey, wife and I said, let's leave California, you know, and we start poking around to looking at something in Florida. Is that knowable? That's knowable. Wow. By who? I mean, is that a lead that's purchased by people in the real estate industry? Is that?
It certainly can be. It can be. It's not through Keller Williams, but talk about something in front of, if you happen to have a Alexa in your house. You know.
I don't.
Well, if you do, the world knows everything about you.
Yeah.
So, you can pick up leads off of that. I was looking for a car last year or year before, and I was talking about this car, and just think about the only time I said it to anybody was, you know, my wife in the bedroom, and next thing you know, that's on my computer. And it's like, really? Okay, so, that's basically artificial intelligence.
Okay.
It's maybe not true artificial intelligence, but it's, let's just say, there's not a lot of secrets if you say something in public anymore. Or if you search for something, I'm sure everybody out there has experienced that.
How do buyers make decisions now? I'm just really curious.
Same way they always have.
That's not the perception,
no,
right?
They think critically and they act emotionally.
Okay. But I'm talking about how do they choose? Are they loyal to somebody they dealt with in the past typically? Or is it more spur of the moment to what's like there?
Depends on the relationship they had with the person in the past.
Okay.
100% on that. Generally, no, there's absolutely no loyalty unless that person has, that they've dealt with in the past has given them a reason to be, you know, stayed in contact.
That's what I was really wondering, if there was just touches along the way.
Absolutely touches. That's this software that we've got. It tells you to touch each client you've got or each person that you've had as a prospect 33 times a year.
I would have no idea it was that much. And that doesn't necessarily just mean a phone call. That means in a lot of various different ways.
This new software we have not only tells you to do it, it'll do it for you.
Right. Wow.
33 times a year it'll go out to them, or however many times you set it for. But they say the optimal time is 33 touches a year.
I can't think of anybody that touches bases with me. You know, I mean, that's an interesting thing, because that would be the dominant person in your mind.
That's what you want to be.
Yeah, Ben Gay III wrote a book about sales, and he's really the guru of door-to-door sales. And I did business with him one time. We hired him to do a 1-hour talk. And when you pay somebody, you know, 10 grand or 25 grand for their hour, usually they're done. He wasn't done. He stayed for 2.5 days and just enjoyed himself. You could tell he actually enjoyed himself being around. And then I would say for years after that, I would get in the mail, he would cut out an article. He said, I read this and I thought of you. Ben Gay the Third. And you're like, who does this?
I'll tell you who does that. Somebody who's incredibly successful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he has a loyal. I mean, I actually paid him $5,000 to do our letter that we mailed out to buy houses directly to people. And I couldn't, what am I going to do? I mean, that's what he charges per page because that's his stuff is good. But I would have felt so disloyal because this guy, he's been sending me like 20-something things a year for years going, touching me. Just, I'm thinking about you. I care about your business. This could benefit you. I've never had anybody in my life do that. And it was impactful. Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
Well, you're talking about the exceptional person. You're talking about one of the, I'll say that that falls into the top 1 to 2, possibly 2% of the people that'll do that. But then if you look at successful realtors, the one who really makes money is the top 1%.
Right.
And then the top 2% make pretty good money, and then it drops like a rock after that. One of the things I tell new agents coming into the office when I generally, as we have a new group graduating one of our trainings, because we have basic huge blocks of training, I'll tell them that the bad news is the top 5% make 90% of the money in real estate. The good news is it's easy to get in the top 5%.
Which is kind of an amazing statement if you think about it. So there's a lot of things that the bottom 95% are incapable of doing or just refuse to do.
They just don't do it.
They just don't do it.
Well, I'm not willing to do that. And there's a quote that's, when you limit what you will do, you limit what you can get.
Yeah.
So that's like I said, when I first started as a realtor, I was working 80 to 100 hours a week. So I did everything.
That's what I was just going to ask. So when you said you're a realtor and you worked 80 to 100 hours a week and you did everything, has that changed to where now you see the Norris Group or the Jim Brown team or something like that? So is there more, if these people that are pretty successful, do they have their own people just doing assistance to their contacting of clients or their transactions?
Okay. Once I became a realtor, I was only by myself for 6 months, roughly 6 months. Then I hired an assistant.
Okay.
That assistant, I hired her $10 an hour to work 20 hours a week. That lasted for 3 weeks. And then she was full-time, and I've been increasing that salary ever since. I have had the same assistant for 20 years. She makes more money than most of the people in my office. But I jokingly call it, she's the real Jim Brown.
Right.
You know, I sell a house, and I bring come in with the contracts, whatever. I put it on her desk, or I take a listing, put it on her desk. And oftentimes, that's the last time I deal with the people until we come to closing, because she handles it all. And you just condition people. First off, she knows everything that I want her to do. She does it. I don't have to look over her shoulder at all.
Right.
And she creates the rapport. Now, the downside to that is whenever there's a gift that they give the realtor, they give it to her. But I have no problem with that at all. But there's that. Then there's people. It's the last several years of the team. One of the most successful groups in my office is a team. I believe there are around 16 people now, one team. And then I've got one agent, makes $1 million a year, has for years and years and years and years, does it all himself, but he is the exception.
Wow.
It's truly an exception.
I'm just curious, what kind of real estate does he sell? Is it expensive or is it normal?
Higher than the normal. I'd say his average sales price is probably around $750.
In Riverside, yeah, that's
pretty. Well, in Riverside, and he does Orange County and that as well, but an exceptional guy. As honest as the day is long, very direct, and he has several investors that sell their houses and buy new houses and stuff like that with him because he's there. He works for them. He doesn't work. I mean, he makes money. He likes money, but he works for the client and does what's best for the client, and he's been doing it for a long time.
What percentage of your agents here, I'm an investor, and get excited about the proposition of working with them?
Well, you get a hold of a new agent, tell them you're an investor, and you get them all excited. Anybody who's been in the business for a while learns that investors, you kind of have to vet them, because you talk about no loyalty. Most investors have none.
Really?
Oh, none. And
okay.
They will work you to death and never buy a house through you.
Or never list it with you.
Or never list it with you. That is the nature of that beast, at least as I see it. So new agents, you know, some investor gets a hold of me, I'd like to buy about 20, 30 houses a year whatever. And
yeah.
the guy's thinking, oh, I just hit the gold mine. And they'll work them to death and never buy a house. So you have to vet them. You have to ask for commitment. You know, hey, this is great. I'll work my butt off for you, but you've got to be loyal to me. And if they're not willing to make that loyal to me, I would never work with them.
You know, what's interesting. I hadn't thought about this, but when I was trying to learn things, I became an agent for Trademark for 1 month. I worked for an auction company, Kennedy Wilson, for 1 month. Mm. So I went around different facets of the industry, and the thing that I found interesting about being a listing agent for 30 days. Was the abusive ability of the client.
Oh, yeah.
And so I shared this with Roger Sachet. He was the owner. And then we had a sales meeting. And I said, well, this was a call I got, and this is how I handled this. So this lady was on the other end of the phone, and she was kind of throwing her weight around because I wasn't going to give her the address of the property. She called on an ad. Mm-hmm. And I said, so after she did this, like, you know, I know the drill, blah, blah, blah. I said, do you know you're being rude? And there was a pause. She says, am I? I'm so sorry. She said, my husband makes me do this every day. I said, how long you been doing it? She said, almost a year. What was your goal? She said, I wanted to own a house. How's it working? And so she came in. And when I said that, though, there was like, oh, you said that? That lady needed to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not here to be abused. Right?
I'm not.
I'm not, yeah. I mean, you're a professional. What is this? So by standing up for myself, there was a result that saved the lady another year of nothing and frustration. But I didn't see, the reaction was interesting. It was like, oh, you actually confronted a client. It's like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah, well, you have to not be afraid to lose them
do
that. But this goes back to what I was saying, self-image. Your self-image says, I'm not something to be walked on.
Right.
Most agents are, it's like, I don't feel worthy of actually getting a 3% commission because, my God, you know how much money that is, and that's more money than I have made in the last 6 months or something like that. And you have to feel you're worth it. Now, I've had some pretty big checks from one sale. But what people don't realize is you do a whole lot of work sometimes with no money.
Absolutely.
So you
30 touches a year for 8 years before you get a listing or something.
And that used to be a lot of work, but and like I said, that's I did. I don't think I've ever done that many myself, but a lot of the touches that I do, I never did them. My assistant did them in my name.
Right.
Jim asked me to give you a call and tell you this, you know, something like that. And that's leverage. Leverage is the key to more than what everybody else does.
When you started, we talked about an example where interest rates were over 20%, and now probably good chance this year they'll be under 3% the majority of the time, and maybe for the next.
They are right now.
Okay, and the next 2 years probably.
Just so you know, the guy that bought that $2.4 million house, 20% down, got a 2.9 interest rate.
Fixed for
30 years.
Yeah.
And I thought, whoa, okay, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, we had a report that was the title.
Yeah.
Whenever you write reports, you're just going, if I live long enough.
Yeah, I've got your book.
And you know what's funny? You know what was funny about that is that you needed a recession for that to occur, not what I thought, like, oh, my God, this could turn into something. Do you see, I know right now real estate's doing good. Do you see anything that's concerning? Like a really smart man like Warren Buffett hasn't bought a stock in 6 months. He's sitting in almost 50% cash because he's expecting something else, the other shoe to drop. So as a business owner, you look out and say, okay, what am I concerned about?
My biggest concern, and it's probably not a great topic to talk about, is political.
Okay.
Depending on how this election goes, things could be very different.
When you own assets in California, you know, part of why you're an investor, you feel like you know the rules, the rules of engagement. That's comforting. So if I own this, I get depreciation and I get to raise rents, and then all of a sudden some of that changes, and you go, wow, I didn't know you could change that. I didn't know you could have rent control. We was on the ballot and we voted against it, and the next year we had rent control. You start doing that often enough, you realize, okay, the rules aren't what I thought they were.
Mm-hmm.
And that has a negative impact on your wanting to take risk.
Well, there's a lot of powers that be in the state of California that could make it where nobody's willing to take that risk.
Right. They got to be very
careful.
There's
some things on the ballot coming up that are a little sneaky. You know, they kill Proposition 13.
Yeah.
That's going to change a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
It's going to change the way a lot of things are looked at. And there's going to be a lot of people on fixed income that can no longer afford where they currently live.
Yeah. No, I agree. That's a concern. And that's a lot of, we have a lot of investors. I just talked to somebody this morning. So we took people to Florida, you know, to buy some rental mm-hmm. properties. Well, one of them, I mean, he's not even moving his clan. I mean, he's moving his friends. He says, okay, let's just get out of here. And so it's not a guy without he's got some substance. He's got he's got lots of real estate to sell. He wants to do it because he just is concerned. This is a guy that's lived here. He's 60. He's exactly the age I am, 68. And he's just liquidating everything he owns over the next 2 years. That's an unusual decision for him to make.
That's probably looking at the California political climate.
Yeah.
I've got a very good friend who's a realtor out here for years that moved to North Carolina. And he's been back there 2 years, and in that 2 years, he now has six friends from California that live near him. He, you know, sends beautiful pictures, talks about talks about the economy there, what things cost. He can live there for basically half of what he paid in California. He saved like $3,000 just on his insurance. One thing after another, and he's, you know, he just basically bringing his friends with him. So I think you're seeing that a lot. Similar to Tennessee, I know people are doing basically the same thing there.
Yeah.
Arizona, I think you're going to see a lot of increases in price in Arizona.
Yeah.
Because, well, there's California's moving to Arizona and Texas.
That's right. Well, Florida's getting New Jersey and New York migration of people. But it gets a lot of migration in California's dough.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, those are the reasons, you know, those are the things I look at.
And the Carolinas are getting, with this friend of mine, he says they're getting a lot of what they call bounce backs. This is people that come from up north there,
right,
move to Florida. Florida doesn't work out for them. A lot of times it's the humidity
right.
and things like that.
Okay.
So they bounce back up to the Carolinas.
Okay.
Especially if in there they go into the Smoky Mountains, you've got the elevation, so you don't have the humidity.
Okay.
And it's inexpensive to live. I can show you some pictures of the house I'm looking at. So,
well, that's the thing. You know, you start talking to people and you realize, okay, I'm not the only one considering this stuff.
Oh, no. No. You want a good gauge of where things are booming and where they aren't. Try renting a... Call U-Haul and ask what it costs to rent a trailer or a truck to go from there to here or from here to there. And the differences it'll just blow you away.
Yeah, that can be 10 times.
Yeah, easily 10 times. And it's not expensive to bring a trailer to California. It tells you how many people are leaving. But even at that, Bruce, and I'm sure you know this, there's still a housing shortage. In California,
yeah,
we've got so many people. There's still a huge, even when everything was going to pieces in 07 and 08, there was a housing shortage then.
What's interesting about that is in this last cycle, the new builders haven't showed up.
Yeah,
there it's like minus 70% of normal boom cycle numbers. So they either couldn't pencil what would be bought, or they just looked at the process and said it's not worth it.
Well, there, I've dealt with a lot of builders over the years. Most of them want, they want something they can build right now. And most of the things that you've seen built in the last few years are existing track maps that have been sitting there for years.
That's right.
And they've looked around, and that's pretty much picked clean right now.
Yeah.
And so now they have to start that process, and that process that it takes to get to the point that they can actually build. If from raw land, that's a 3-year process, and in this state. Some other states, it's 3 months.
That's right. Well, that's, you know, when you go to Florida and you build, okay, so what's the process? You know, 3 weeks. What's the permit cost? $9,000. What's the building lot cost? $9,000. 7 minutes from the ocean.
Yeah.
You're going, what?
Yeah.
Like you landed on a different planet. You know, you can buy something that's brand new for $225,000. So you can understand, I mean, the math of it. But California, what's interesting about California, and these are numbers that I just figured out last year and coming up, about 100% of Florida's population gain is migration. About 100% of California's population gain is birth over death.
Oh, yeah.
So they're not ready to buy houses when they get born, right? So, I mean, you have your... In Florida, when you have a migrating adult, they're ready to rent or buy. Mm-hmm. That's a very big difference. So your population gain, if you have it in California, is not as meaningful because they're not going to buy anything. The people, the where we lose people are migrating out of California. Now, that's usually countered by immigration, but now that's not true either. The number is still now a negative for the combining of those two categories made up by birth over death. So California is losing numbers, and I don't know that that's going to stop happening.
With keep politics as they are, traffic as it is, I think it's going to, if nothing else, increase, or stay the same at least. It's, you know, like you mentioned in North Carolina where I was talking about where this friend of mine moved to, he said, Jim, if we see four cars at the same time, that's traffic. And you know, here somebody says, well, how long does it take to drive from Corona to Los Angeles? And my next question is, what time of day are you talking about?
Joey just gave me a good question. So coronavirus, COVID-19, how's it going to change the industry? Do you see any permanent changes of how realtors are going to conduct what they do?
Well, we take it very seriously because we have to. Everything I keep reading says it basically is not much different than the common flu.
Yeah.
But the because of, you know, the different things that they're being demanded, we, you know, we're very careful with the rules, right? And the rules have changed every week.
That's right.
Every single week.
Right.
But right now we're supposed to every showing of a property you have, the listing agent is supposed to be there. Now, if you're a highly productive agent and you have 20 listings, that's impossible.
Right.
But we're supposed to be there. We're supposed to wipe it down before the people come in, and we're supposed to wipe it down after they leave.
Wow.
I don't think that's going to – it can't last.
No.
It just can't.
Right.
But how's it going to – I'll put it like this. This current month, June – I think we're going to beat last year for June.
Right.
And we're dealing with exactly that. So
right.
I don't think it's slowing people down a lot. Now, there's a lot of people that withdrew their listings when this started that haven't come back to it yet. And there's people that were looking for homes that are still afraid to come out of their house. But, I mean,
I think
anywhere you go, you can't – there's – people are wearing masks because it's mandated, but – I don't think people are taking it anywhere near as seriously as we did in the beginning.
No, I think they can't wait to not do it. So being in different states sometimes is an eye opener. So Florida was a little ahead of California. Went to a restaurant Friday night with Aaron. You know, the correct amount of tables were there, mm-hmm. the separation, not one mask and I would say 90% of the people were 65 or over. So that was an interesting visual that things want to get back to normal. Yeah, you know,
people in my office, a lot of them went to Arizona over the last week, and they said, didn't see a mask, didn't see one anywhere.
Wow. That's the thing, too, is mentally, you know, you think about how things have changed. It's like every time, it's weekend. Okay, let's go to, I can't go to the movie. You know, you could go down the list and you can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to turn on a ball game. Can't do it. And so you get reminded, and it does, it's sort of like, okay, I mean, you and I are not wearing a mask. We're doing this interview. We shook hands when you came in. So, you know.
I can't help it. I've been doing shaking hands for so long.
That's what, funny, when I came to Florida, my buddy Alex, he comes up to me, he's like, gives me a hug. He says, I didn't know if that was okay or not.
Yeah. We're very careful with clients because we have clients that come in that are in our office. If you're in your own little office, if you're off inside the office, you don't have to wear a mask.
Right.
But if you're in the general area in our office, you have to wear one because we have clients that come in that some are very, very careful about it. And then we have clients that come in and go, really, do I have to wear one of these things?
Yeah, I see that when I'm ever drive to work. You know, you see people walking just their dog, and half of them have masks on today, and you're just going,
yeah,
just walking outside. That,
yeah, I can't tell you that I do walking around outside.
Jim, we have run out of time. I want you to give a way to contact you and your company, please.
Oh, sure. I'm Jim Brown. That's Keller Williams Corona. My number is 951-545-1087. The office number is 951-271-3000. And glad to help you any way we can.
Appreciate that, Jim.
The Norris Group originates and services loans in California and Florida under California DRE License 01219911, Florida Mortgage Lender License 1577, and NMLS License 1623669. For more information on hard money lending, go to thenorrisgroup.com and click the Hard Money tab.
For more information on hard money loans and upcoming events with the Norris Group, check out thenorrisgroup.com. For information on passive investing with trust deeds, visit tngtrustdeeds.com.